In the time of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran and ceased not in the night season. My soul refused comfort. The writer of Psalm 77 found a powerful way to lament the tragedies and disasters of the chosen people. Although he is really writing about a despondent nation, he writes this lament in the first person, and this gives his words additional force. Our lamenting person becomes a metaphor for the chosen people who cry out into the void only for their God to remain silent. The oozing sore symbolizes an unspecified, ongoing situation that nobody can address. All confidence and strength are gone. The psalmist's gloom only increases when he remembers the days of old and the years that are past, those times when God seemed to be blessing Israel. In verse 7, he asks, "Will the Lord absent himself forever? And is his promise come utterly to an end forevermore?" But in verse 10, he recognizes that the fault does not lie with God. The fault lies with him, or with the nation. In verse 11, the mood changes. The speaker has finally realized that lamenting is wrong. It is we who have changed, not God. So, rather than blaming the nation's problems on God's presumed absence, our psalmist begins recalling the overwhelming evidence of God's goodness, thy wonders of old time. Verse 13 might slide by almost unnoticed. It concludes with the words, "Who is so great a God as our God?" I need to keep reminding myself that a faithful Jew could be thought of as being monotheistic, but he most likely also believed that there were indeed other gods. It was just that he only worshipped the one true God. For example, ever since about 600 Common Era, monks have begun their day of worship by singing the opening verses of Psalm 95. "For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods." The ancient Hebrews were convinced that there were other gods. This reminder helps me appreciate the phrase, "Thou art the God that doeth wonders, that delivered thy people." That is the God we are talking about. It has been suggested that in verse 15, Jacob might represent the northern kingdom and Joseph the southern, who knows. In verse 18, I wonder if people's minds might have recalled stories of the thunder and lightning experienced at Mount Sinai. And in verse 19, might the paths in the great waters have reminded listeners of the ancient stories about ancestors crossing the Red Sea? The last verse clearly alludes to the Exodus, led by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is a powerful psalm. The psalmist openly asks questions which are on people's minds, wondering whether a listening, personal God really does exist, or is God only a remote deity? But these timeless questions are then fully answered by the psalmist's beautiful hymn of worship, praise, and faith. Thank you.